Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby and screaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Have we got a treat in store for you today? Are you tired of all the gloom and doom noise about the economy, storms coming? Wouldn't you like to start off your morning hearing about a program that helps people feel better about life, learn about how nature helps us to heal and helps us to be happy? Well, I have the director of the Eco Wisdom Nature and Forest Guide Training Program, Carrie Cove, who is internationally known. She's here with us, and I'll let you introduce yourself, as well as three of the other participants in the program, graduates in the program, what that means, and we will hear each of them talk about the particular way that taking part in the training program has been a blessing in their life. Wouldn't you like to study something that becomes a blessing in your life?
Thank you, Charlotte. Yes, it's so nice to be in community once again with all of you and to be able to share this experience with others. The Eco Wisdom Forest Preserves Nature and Forest Therapy Guide Training Program is one that emphasizes inclusion and accessibility. So our guides complete quite intensive 6-month training, plus a 3-month period of supervised practice, where we cover all kinds of topics, including different worldviews, nature and spirituality, nature and inclusion, sort of challenging notions of who belongs in nature, to some of the science and psychology, what happens to our bodies and minds when we're in nature. And all of this helps our guides when they design their own programs and facilitate and co-facilitate as well. So we're happy to be here, Charlotte.
Okay, would you introduce the guides that are going to be sharing with us some of the special ways that the program has helped them personally, and then what guides are able to offer to others?
Yeah, well, we have Laurel Goodings here, and she's been actively involved with Eco Wisdom as our creative director, actually, for a number of years. And she's completed the training as a nature and forest therapy guide. And we have Kim Egger. So pleased that you could join us here today. Kim, you have so many important messages to convey to others. I'm so pleased that you're here to join us. And Kim is located out of BC. And we also have Karen Van Biesen, who goes by Punky in our community. Karen Punky, it's so good that you could join us. Punky is also from British Columbia. And then we also have you, Charlotte, as a recent graduate of our Nature and Forest Therapy Training Program. So welcome, everybody.
Welcome. And Punky is also into radio. Punky, can I ask you, what is one of the things that you are happy about and feel how this program has benefited you?
This program has benefited me physically, mentally, and emotionally. While I was taking the training, I fractured my back, and it usually takes about 8 weeks of taking things slow and bed rest. But with having just started the training and the benefits of community and that, it helped me overcome a lot of the physical aspects of what it was like to have a fractured back. I also deal with chronic a chronic UTI, which is urinary tract infection, and most of the time I can be affected by the drugs that I have to take because of it. I am in pain a lot of the time, but I use the methods of what I learned through Eco Wisdom to help me maintain a balance and calmness and ease the pain and able to go through everything.
Dealing with personal issues, how important is that for a person working with someone to understand it's not just their medical issues, but also personal issues that have to be resolved?
I think that society, when they see the physical, they forget about the emotional and the psychological. They just want to deal with the medical. So, and day to day, because they have to deal with the obvious, what seems obvious to them, it just goes by the wayside. I think to actually know how a person is feeling, you take a more holistic approach rather than dividing it.
And I see, you know, you mentioned sometimes a lot of people with the writer's strike and with the price of housing in Vancouver in particular, but across North America in general, housing costs are high and a lot of people are dealing with, they've got to move. They've got a lot of stuff they've got to pack up and reach a point where they just can't function because of the overwhelming task involved with going forward and the requirements of the medical or whatever procedure.
Yeah, it's actually, it makes things a lot harder on top of it. But I think once you're able to calm down and have perspective with it and just have some days where you can have quiet time, you can overcome it.
Is there a particular thing in nature that helps you to get peace and to get calm in the midst of everything else going on?
I know I'm overlapping with someone else, but I finally found a sit spot, and I do like to go to a cafe that's nearby there that has a lot of plants and that around it and also inside it, and there is a sense of community there also. Not, I don't have community online. I also have community in my neighborhood.
Kim, I know community is one of your favorite topics. And could you elaborate just a minute about the sit spot?
Yes, thank you, Charlotte. I find there's many tools that I learned in the Eco Wisdom's Nature and Forest Therapy Guide program. And one of them is just, if you can just take maybe even just a few minutes out of your day, whether it's looking up at a cloud or taking a mindful moment to look out the window. And in my case, I'm fortunate enough to have a fish pond in the backyard. So when I'm feeling really anxious or stressed, I will often go to the backyard and just gaze at the goldfish we have in the backyard. It's kind of neat. We've had them for years. We grew them from little babies, and now they're, if I was into eating fish, I'd say they're big enough to eat, but I wouldn't touch those babies. They're very special to us. The interesting thing is when I went out there during the Eco Wisdom program, I was quite interested in the science behind what I intuitively knew was benefiting me. So one time I went out and I looked at my, I have a smartwatch, and I looked at just how it affected my blood pressure, my heart rate. And I was really, really fascinated after about 10 or 15 minutes of sitting there to see my heart rate go from a normal 56 to 58 down to 40. Uh-huh. And just 50 minutes, 15 minutes or less.
And not a pill to lower your blood pressure, but just to get a
That's right. I take, you know, there's a lot of medications that I was taking. When you speak of pills, yeah, there's a lot of medications that I was taking, and I've managed to cut and reduce a lot of them in the last 6 months to a year. So it's really, really giving me a number of benefits. Prior to this, I had, I even had trouble just leaving the house by myself. And now I feel like I've got a great community. I'm not socially isolated anymore. I'm getting out and doing all kinds of things in the community, teaching and enjoying adaptive curling. And creating social events where people can get out and meet each other. We're all interdependent with each other. You know, if I help someone, it helps me feel better. That's kind of what nature does to all of us. I'm learning the reciprocal nature in which we all live, whether we're humans, plants, animals, insects, all of us. And by giving, we do receive. And I'm just amazed at how much the sense of community I've gained over the last couple of years.
You had me at the word community a year ago when I first did an interview about eco-wisdom. And a lot of things sounded great, but when you said community, I thought, oh, I found my community. Because people, sometimes if you, like I like writing poetry, and I like doing sometimes other unusual expressions, creative expressions. And for some people, you know, it's like, why do you want to do this? Or why do you want to do that? But I've seen you being a connector with people with newsletters that Spinal Cord Injury Organization have, a connector around how to have an events at a church. So there is a word that you have mentioned that we hear a lot of, and that word is what happens when people are isolated or feel alone, and that's PTSD. Could you tell us a little about the PTSD experience and then how the Nature Program has helped you to totally come away from that isolation?
Absolutely, Charlotte. It's really been transformational in my life. Prior to the Eco-Wisdom Program and meeting a few really amazing people in my life who've had an impact on me, maybe I should just back up a bit and say that, first of all, I'm a quadriplegic. I broke my neck in a vehicle accident, and I've lived with that for a couple of decades or more. And I would describe myself as a resilient person, someone who managed to get through rehab and go to school, university, and just generally go to work and do well in life. And I have to just talk a little bit about the PTSD, because I was quite shocked at how that knocked me back. And throughout my life, I've always been able to overcome everything as long as I tried hard enough. And for the life of me, I really couldn't figure out why I couldn't just try harder and get better. PTSD just doesn't work like that. You can work as hard as you want, but unless you have tools to help you get better, it's something that just goes on with your brain that you really can't control. It's a chemical, imbalance. I would say that overcoming or learning to live with PTSD was definitely harder than learning to live as a quadriplegic, if that sort of puts some context around how challenging that time in my life was. I went from having an eating disorder, problems with, in fact, the doctor even threatened to send me to the eating disorders clinic one time if I didn't start eating. I guess that I had trouble just eating anything. And I'd lost a lot of weight. My anxiety was high. Mood was all over the place, as well as my nutrition. And as far as sleep goes, you know, I would sleep, have a nightmare, sleep for another hour or two. But when you can't sleep, it affects every part of your body, mentally, physically, and every part of your being. When I started to take the Eco-Wisdom Program, one of the things that I really liked about it is that it's based on experiential learning. Some of us, when we first took the program, we were a little concerned about a lot concerned about the pass or failure in the course. And I can't tell you how many times we were assured by the founders of EcoWisdom, nobody's going to fail. We will work with you. And it, you know, that made a few of us feel who had come to sort of take the course together and help each other out. Again, practicing interdependency, we really helped each other out. And knowing that we weren't alone made a big difference. And then we would have the teachers of the program who were the mentors. They would meet with us and assure us that we're here to teach you, we're here to guide you. And they were just so flexible. It was such an amazing experience to be able to be flexible and understood in a way that others wouldn't necessarily understand us, is just accepting who we are as we are without judgment. And I think to our small group of people who felt like we kind of needed a little extra help, that really made everything. It just kind of opened the door for us and made way for us just to be as ourselves. I think there's very few places in society where we can feel that way.
It's true. It brings to mind a song, We Are Family. But I think of all the different programs I've had, I've done double bachelor's, done a master's degree, and each thing there was all of the worry about failing, and not really the typical educational program pits people against each other rather than looking at how you can work together. So we have, in talking to our next person, Laurel is going to talk about ways that she has helped with the social connections, because you had the unusual thing. Most programs, when you're going through something, you can't be a presenter. She has captured a lot of the visual, a lot of the meetings, captured things and have them in the resource guide for the course. So Laurel, speak a bit about your joy and then also the social connections, the importance of that, and expressing the creativity that you found with just that device that most people have in their hand, their camera, their phone.
Thanks, Charlotte. I'm so happy to be here also. Yes, I'm a photographer. I'm someone who has a chronic illness, so it's invisible. I guess first, I would say, regarding my photography, a lot of my photographs are, I'm inspired. I like to photograph nature. And sometimes maybe when I was a kid and I started taking pictures, I didn't have this. But as I got older, I had this kind of pain, I would call it a pain, the frustration of trying to capture what I was looking at, feeling compelled to capture it, obliged to capture it. And in some ways, maybe I was taking a photograph to share with someone. I'm not really, or maybe to look at myself later. I don't know exactly how the pain, what the source is precisely, but what I learned through doing the program with EcoWisdom is somehow something just completely shifted in me, where I was able to, the thing I was trying to do, I guess, was to absorb what I was looking at or hearing or smelling, but with the camera, with the, what I was looking at. I do video also. I learned how to receive that for myself differently at that moment, even to the point where, which I never dreamt would occur, is I didn't even have to take the photograph. That was always I missed that picture, or, you know, it didn't turn out. And I think that's, you know, the pinnacle for me was, I don't even have to take the photo. I'm here, this is it, and I'm receiving it. And I still do take a lot of photographs, but I'm okay with not doing it. And I don't feel the stress of trying to capture something, because I understand better now that what is happening out there is for me in that moment to receive what I'm experiencing. And just to be clear, you can also receive those things from looking at a photograph. So I can revisit those same experiences by looking at my photographs again, or even just the photograph I didn't take. I can think about it and I can just imagine it or just remember being there at that time. Our imagination is really amazing in being able to bring back memories and experiences. And we all know that for good and bad experiences we've had, when we think about them, you can kind of feel it physically. So that can be used for good as a positive tool to experience the things you've had in the past. If you have trouble, you can think about visualizing those things, the trees and ocean, whatever it is you've been looking at, sunset. And I've talked a lot before about the belonging that I've, the feeling of being in a community and the feeling of belonging and how important that is with people. But I just first want to say that with that experience that I have with nature, it's really changed things. I guess I was sort of separating myself from nature and learning that many things. One, that you don't have to go far away. You don't have to be immersed in you know, a 3-day canoe trip or whatever things that you may or may not be able to do. You can, you know, when I'm walking down the street, I can look at the clouds. You know, I think someone mentioned that, Kim mentioned that. Look at the clouds or look at the trees. Just take a moment and connect with that. And somehow I don't know that I really understood that it was always there. It was always there and it's still there. And this constancy that I've discovered in nature has, and I would say the real, because it's become more real instead of me trying to just, you know, put it in a, on film and to be in it has created it, has adjusted my sense of its reality. And in that, my own reality, I feel more real, more alive, and I can, I've said this to myself lately, I feel like I can locate myself literally and in an abstract way and in a real way, that I'm really here on the planet. And it gives me more, another term we like to talk, that we gain is more agency. And so I have more sense of my own reality, my own power, my own, well, ultimately my own value, because all those things feed into that. But the community with the people is also really the larger part for me, is finding the community and feeling a sense of belonging in that. A lot of my life, I've not been following the normal, right, the status quo, getting a career and a house and a family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I feel outside all the time. And even though I know that that isn't true, that I'm still valuable, I have, my life is, you know, it's a different path and that's okay. It's just very, very challenging to be fighting that inside yourself all the time, even though you agree with yourself. It's just always in front of you. It's always being pounded on you that, you know, whoops, you're different, you're different, you're different, you're different. So being in this community where everyone is allowed and encouraged and to be themselves, and I think for the most part people feel that, it's one of the most valuable things that I think a human can find, is the sense of belonging. And for me, certainly I can say that that is true. I feel completely differently about the path that I've chosen and some of the parts of the path that I definitely did not choose. I feel just another piece of the mosaic, really. Everyone has a slightly different sheen to them, and my sheen is just fine.
I like that. My sheen is just fine. Funky has an eye, wants to share also some ways that the program has helped her. But I wanted to connect with feeling like you're at the right place at the right time. A large part of my life has been a separation of the creative. Well, you do those creative things, you know, did everything that I was encouraged to do to be a nutritionist. And as I started to write poetry, I do other things. There was this separation. Well, that's your creative life. We can have those little creative things over here. But what you, your moneymaker, so much is made in our life around what's a moneymaker. But like at the point I was hurt in a job where I was working as a health promotion consultant to the City of Toronto. I was driving. I had done a workshop for teens on stress. And on my way back, a stressed out woman hit my car, knocked me to the side of the freeway. I had a brain hematoma and a spinal bruise. And I wrote some limericks. The first thing I wrote in the hospital was one was on the ridiculousness of nutrition. And I wrote something about notes people leave. People went out of town. They left two notes on the wall. One was about the kitties. Don't give the cats any bones ever. And then there was another one for the kids that said, here's $2, get some snacks for the kids. So, but a lot of is healing and writing poetry was helping me on the inside and helping me through presenting. This is the first program that really honored the importance of poetry as a form, as a healing form, and as a creative form. And in community, finding community, I found there are other people within this group that do poems, and it's a part of the program. Every time there is an accessible wellness program held, poetry is at the beginning or at the end. So it's helped me to find my people. This also helped me to find a form and feel legitimized in a way that poetry helps settle me, give me balance, and to see the joy. Like you talk, when you see the picture, when you see people's faces as they're receiving a poem, it really heals and excites your soul. So to my other poet friend, Punky, you had a comment that you wanted to make around ways that this has helped you as well.
I have a friend that I do a radio show with, and over the years, I've even had to help him in regard to a few things, just talking to him. I just know him through Skype or whatever. We've never met in person, but my friend deals with a lot of anxiety for his job, which is in video for weddings and for conferences. And I just started talking about what I've learned in force bathing having to do with sit spot. I talked to him about the stuff that Kim had discussed earlier, and he hasn't taken the course, but just by giving him the simple information about sit spot and to take 20 minutes to go for a walk and be outside and everything else, he's had to do a lot of stressful work that he was so anxious about, and it was the first time he was going beyond his community to do this job. And these tools helped him be very calm when he had to do his stressful work.
I find, you know, we said sit spot a few times. Carrie, do you want to explain what a sit spot is? This program is great because it has lessons. They're online. You can go and you can look at a video or you read. And when I saw two things that really amazed me or impressed me at the beginning, they were talking about a sit spot. And I said, no, what is that about? And about forest bathing. And I am just so amazed at the sit spot. I was traveling and I was in an urban area and I thought, well, I don't have a forest to go to and I don't have the woods. And there was a simple thing that said, just where you are, if it's just a house plant, if you don't have a living house plant, you could take a plant that somebody may have given you made of cloth, but just sitting and looking at that plant and noticing the difference, how each leaf is individual and how they're unique things. I found one leaf on the plant that looked like there were two waterfalls coming down in the leaf. And then I began to notice other things about the plant. So I said, it's really dry. Maybe it needs a little water. And then I thought, well, I don't want to give it too much water. But I had a level of consciousness. And so the simplicity of being able to find, but I hear sit spot, I hear when grandparents used to say, find some place and sit down. But this sit spot is a pleasant place where you can just comfortably look at a tree. You can look at a pond,
I don't have a goldfish or a kayak, that larger fish. I don't